You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 465. Randall, you're here as well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's pretty warm outside, but here in the studio, it actually feels pretty good.
Yep, our wonderful studio. We've been complaining about cold weather for so much of the spring, and now it's been hot.
Now we're worried that recruits won't like it because it's too hot.
We've got a few things to talk about today. Updates on a few different players, and we're going to talk about the next few weeks coming up as well, because I'm getting married.
What?
Here in about a week and a half, so I'm not going to be on the next... I'll be missing some of the next few episodes here. But we will have... I think we'll have an episode every week. Randall's going to be working on those and doing some interviews. So that's going to be exciting. Get some insights on a couple different players or former players, maybe.
Yeah, and make sure you send Ruben congratulations. He did finally decide to get married, so...
let's jump into it, Randall. We were talking a little bit before the podcast, a couple different updates for a few different players. Troy Pride Jr., what is the latest with him and his track?
Well, we have been talking about him. You know, he's been involved in track and just how fast he is. But the latest was a video that was sent out last week of him running a 40. And he broke the 4.4 barrier. So he ran a 4.38. So... we do have a guy on the team that can run fast in a 4.4, which is very fast. Now the exciting thing is we got another guy coming in. It'll be fun to compare Braden Lindsay with him and see what those guys can do. Hopefully they match. They have a race or something that everyone can see. But yeah, he keeps showing us his blazing speed, and hopefully can translate that onto the football field. With his pads on. They should, you know what, I just saw this right now. You know, these guys always run 40s, even at the combine, where they should have them, you know, they have these track suits, basically. They should have them do it in full pads.
That's a good point.
See what the difference is.
Put a helmet on it and a couple pads. I like that.
So.
And I would even argue they should even have them running on sod and then have them running on artificial turf, you know? Let's see what the difference is here.
Exactly. It'd be a better test than just, you know, you never see a football player in tracksuit.
So. You also mentioned that Notre Dame lost a player, not in recruiting, but a scholarship player is no longer on the team.
Yes, there was a question about it. Nobody's really surprised, I guess. Freddie Canteen announced that he is transferring again after 1 year at Notre Dame, and he did have... he had 2 years of eligibility left when he came to Notre Dame, so he still has 1 year to play wherever he decides to go, and he is a grad transfer, so he'd be eligible to play immediately. And I don't know the whole story behind it, but they're trying to get their roster down to the limit, and here's one guy that we didn't think was going to see the field. He actually did last year, surprisingly, but... He didn't do anything.
Well, he didn't stay healthy, and he didn't make an impact.
I think a lot of the reason that he was brought in, which we talked about it then, was just the experience. The wide receivers didn't have a lot of experience, and so here was a guy that could come in and just kind of be that older, mature voice in the locker room for these younger guys. And I think that had a lot to do with what the reason that they brought him in the first place. He didn't say where he is going to play, but he did announce that he's transferring. So happy for him. Maybe go somewhere where he can actually play, because mm-hmm. He wasn't going to get playing time at Notre Dame this year.
Yeah, even though the wide receiver group, there might not be a bunch of a clear top three starter studs. He wasn't going to be one of those. Three guys.
Do you think?
And I don't even think he was going to be one of those six guys that really got on the field and played.
Yeah. Do you think that means the staff had more faith in Chase Claypool, maybe some of these guys, Alize Mack even, because I'm guessing, I don't know at all, this is all speculation, but I'm guessing they sat down with Freddie Canteen and was like, hey, look, if you want to play, you're going to have to go somewhere else. You know, you're not going to. I'm guessing there was a conversation like that.
Yeah, I would assume that.
Do you think that means that the staff has put more faith in the guys they have? I mean, because you hear Brian Kelly talking about Chase Claypool, Alize Mack, how they're getting better, but they still, it's up to them, you know, to take the next step.
Yeah, I definitely think they have more confidence in the playmaking ability of those other guys.
Yeah. As far as some other players, there's Notre Dame's getting down to the 85 limit. I think they're still one over. But there's guys, there's at least four guys that are kind of in limbo right now as to what's going to happen. Not necessarily transfers, but guys that could, you know, there's rumors about Dexter Williams, what's going to happen with him. And now we even talked about last week about Tavon Coney having his court date in August. And the more I keep hearing about it, it has something to do with his probation. So I don't know what the situation is there. It would seem that everything's taken care of, but you know, I think it'll come down to what Notre Dame decides to do. And so hopefully nothing happens with that. But you got a player, one of your star players, going to court just before or fall practice will basically have started.
If Notre Dame doesn't have their full lineup on defense, because I think this is going to be led by the defense, the success of this team.
Okay.
I'm hopeful and a little bit optimistic that Brandon Wimbush takes a step forward, but I do think it's going to be led by the defense. If Notre Dame, you know, wins 10-plus games again, their defense is going to have to play really well. They're going to have to play better than they played last year. If Coney isn't on the team, or even if if he misses a large chunk of the season, they're not going to have the same success. I mean, he's
well. The problem is the linebacker is the huge issue. The depth at linebacker. I'm guessing if something would happen to it, he would have, you know, the 4-game suspension that we've kind of come to know as the Notre Dame suspension. Yet with Kevin Stefferson last year, we still don't know exactly, you know, why that was suspended. We have a lot of ideas, but they never said why he was actually suspended. We've heard about, you know, maybe that's Dexter Williams, the first 4 games. You know, it's kind of that 4-game suspension thing. I could see Coney being more of that type. Than I don't think that at this point there's anything about him not being on the team.
But even if he misses four games.
What I'm saying, it's
games.
A court day. Notre Dame does not like their players going to court. I mean, so anyways, those are two guys. And then obviously they have the two more running backs. It seems the running backs are the ones causing all the issues. You know, they say, we keep talking about the running back recruiting. But the running back depth would be in much better shape if these guys could stay out of trouble. A lot of it has to do with trouble versus the recruiting. Yeah, they could maybe improve on the running back recruitment, but right now you got 3 guys that are questionable to play. I mean, well, you have Dexter Williams. We don't know what, there's just rumors around that. But then you have Deion McIntosh, and I don't think he'll be back this year. He's had multiple offenses, and I don't think, from what I've been hearing, I don't think he'll be on the team. Then you have CJ Holmes, and I have no clue what's going to happen with him. I believe he only has one, but again, it's at Notre Dame. It's I don't know. I don't really see CJ Holmes.
And either in all of these situations, it's not always just one-sided for it to be resolved. I mean, the player needs to want to resolve it, and then Notre Dame also needs to be willing, if it's not too egregious, they need to be willing to, you know, resolve the situation. And CJ Holmes, I mean, he was not too happy when he didn't get playing time.
Yeah.
And so that could play into it too, as far as him being willing to do what it takes.
Yeah. With McIntosh and Holmes, like right when they got suspended, it was like there was no, at that point they said they don't have anything set up as what they need to do to come back. And they were off the football team. That, I think, is very hard to come back from at Notre Dame. And if another thing that kind of confirms my suspicions about Dean McIntosh not being on the team this fall is that is very dangerous. He's multiple offender, basically, at Notre Dame, and if they would let him come back, it would just open up a can of worms. I mean, there's other guys that, you know, have gotten into a lot of trouble and been out for a year. I mean, just different things. I don't think they even want a guy like him on the team, honestly. He's going to get other players in trouble.
And especially with what you went through with Stepherson, where you did give him multiple chances, and I think he kind of ruined it.
He helped ruin it for other guys.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you got four guys that are kind of limbo. I mean, my personal opinion, I think Dexter and Coney will be back, maybe miss a couple games. I do not think McIntosh and Holmes will be back on the team.
And I think the most important player to the success of the team out of those four is Coney. And I know that we need running backs, but we've got a quarterback that can run the football. It's not the same as having a running back, but there are players that can be put there. Notre Dame needs Coney every game for them to have a 10-plus win season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something else that came out, the Notre Dame shirt group or board made up of students have announced the Michigan game as a green out. Obviously, the shirt is green, and this is something I thought that Notre Dame should do for years already. I like the idea. I hope it takes off. But I can also see...
How are they going to implement it? Because
here's the problem.
If they don't make it cookie-cutter easy, it's not going
to
work.
Basically, they want everybody to buy the shirt.
Well, I'm saying it's not going to happen unless they're handing out shirts outside of the stadium as people walk in.
Yeah. Well, I'll promote it here. So wear a green shirt. If you're going to the Michigan game, wear the shirt or wear a green jersey. Wear green. Because I think that would be awesome for Notre Dame to do some of that. The problem is... A lot of the people that go to Notre Dame games are not on social media. They're older people. They wouldn't even find out. I mean, they need to put something. Somebody suggests they need to put something on the ticket stubs or something like that, because you can't just go on Twitter and Instagram and say it's going to be a green out, because half the people won't find out.
I think it needs to be both. I think it should be on the tickets, and then they should also be just handing out, if not handing out shirts, they handed out towels the one year. A smashing success of black towels that could not be seen at all. But maybe both. Maybe green towels, and then on the ticket, maybe hand out green towels, and on the tickets say, you know, wear your green shirt.
Yeah. Well, I love the idea. I'm going to help promote it. I'm going to tell everybody that's I know of that's going to the game to wear green, and I think it's great. I just have a hard time seeing it be accessed. Yeah. One thing that would help, which we talked about before, if the shirt would be green every year.
Yeah. Make the shirt
because
the same color every year.
Because you will, I guarantee you, in that first game against Michigan, you will probably see three different colors of the shirt being worn. You'll see bright blue, dark blue, green, a couple different greens. So the shirt, maybe if you get a chance, message the shirt people and tell them to make the shirt green every year, or stick with one color if they want to do something like
this. Or even every decade.
True.
Just keep it the same for 10 years, or maybe less than that, maybe even 4 years or whatever, but at least for a few years in a row, have it the same color.
Exactly. So, just some other interesting news that I saw this week. I don't know if you've been following the Notre Dame football Twitter, but they do send out videos of the players. Usually it's one person on offense, one person on defense, and they're doing the dad jokes, trying to make the other person laugh. There's some pretty ridiculous jokes, but currently the defense is destroying the offense, so... Obviously, the defense is better at telling jokes or even not laughing at hearing them.
And these are on Twitter and on Instagram?
They're on Twitter. I'm not sure about Instagram, but I retweeted some of them, so check those out. It's just something funny to watch, the players interacting with each other. And then as far as the interns this summer, we talked about Jerry Tillery being in Japan. Brandon Wimbush is in Russia. And you got some walk-ons like Brandon Garcia is in Germany. Jimmy Thompson is in Israel. But as far as those guys and what's covered from Notre Dame covers their tuition, airfare, hotel, meals, and they have spending money for them. So I'd say they're covered pretty good. My thought was just send all the football players on a internship, year-long internship, and then you can give them spending money and airfare and hotel, everything. So anyways, but that's what they're up to right now. And they'll be back to Notre Dame here before too long. So, and as far as recruiting, was it Friday? Luke Deal, tight end, was a guy that Notre Dame was hoping to land, but he did end up committing to Auburn. And I think he's going to play a weak side defensive end there at Auburn. But he did choose Auburn over Notre Dame and a couple other schools. So that's kind of Notre Dame was hoping to get him. And then they had a punter, Jay Bramblett, visit over the weekend. And the thing I like about that, it was his second unofficial visit, but the thing I like is he's from Tuscaloosa. So he has visited Alabama as well, and he has Notre Dame at the top. He says they offer something that Alabama doesn't.
I mean,
but it would just be,
I'd rather be pulling a defensive end or a quarterback out of Tuscaloosa, but hey,
exactly.
I guess we'll take a punter.
But he is one of the top punters in the class, so at this point it looks like Notre Dame could get him in the class, but we'll have to wait and see. He did not commit to Notre Dame. But he says Notre Dame is at the top of the list, so they do need to start looking for a punter. So anyways.
One topic from the forum I wanted to touch on that we didn't get to last week was Adam posted the question about better quarterback, you know, and he asked the question, can Wimbush be a better quarterback than Golson? And we had a little bit of discussion going back and forth. And of course he can be, because he still has, we know what Golson did and didn't do, and Wimbush still has opportunity. But while right now Wimbush is more dynamic and is a better runner of the football, and Golson did struggle with that. Doing the read option, he struggled with it. He did get better as a senior, but he still was not close to as effective as Wimbush has been. But Golson was an accurate passer. It was incredible, the accuracy. And that's just one theory that I don't know about Wimbush. Is he going to be able to take a step forward and be that accurate? I don't think so. So at the end of the day, he could be a better quarterback and still not be quite as accurate because of what he offers with his legs. But
I still think you go back and look at Brian Wimbush's high school career and how he stepped it up in his senior year in big games. The passing yards he put up, that's why I have faith that he can do it again. He made a huge improvement in high school, and I think he can do it again at Notre Dame. I mean, he can pass the ball. I mean, he was close to the best percentage rating in high school football at passing the ball. So it's just a mental thing with him. That's why I have faith that he's going to turn around this year. And we did see what Golson did or where he struggled. The turnovers, it's just hard to look past all the turnovers he had.
That is true. He did.
And he did miss a year. I think that kind of, I don't know. He didn't play. I don't know if that kind of messed him up, but something happened. I mean, it was even halfway through the year when he started with all the turnovers. The first half of the year, he was fine. But even with him, I think it was just once it got into his head, and that was it. One other thing I was going to ask you, the article I've been hearing quite a bit about, I actually listened to Stuart Mandel and Bruce Feldman's podcast where they talked about it. But Stuart Mandel has a list of the top 25. He ranked the top 25 coaches in college football. Brian Kelly is not in the top 25. And I've just been hearing different people talk about it. Bruce Feldman, questioned him out, on different things, on other coaches, too. They didn't say much about Brian Kelly on their podcast, but that could maybe be something to discuss later this summer.
Yeah, Brian Kelly is a top 25
coach. Oh, I know.
I mean,
it's maybe a weird list.
Maybe
in
not
my mind.
Maybe not a top 10, but definitely a top 25 coach.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have to have that Bruce or actually Stuart back on the podcast again. We did have him back on the podcast a couple years ago, so maybe we need to give him on the podcast again and talk about that. But yeah, check it out. When you get a chance, check it out. And yeah, it's a good discussion topic because that's always something that you can debate about. It'll never be settled.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, that's all I've got. Anything more from you?
I don't think so. I guess the next time you'll be on the podcast, you'll be a married man. So you'll have more time to record the podcast.
I hope so. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will have a podcast next week. So definitely check it out. Come back and check that out again. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.